If you got your Bibles, turn to 2 Timothy, please, chapter number 1, and go down with me to verse 15 through 18. I have a special message on this Father's Day. I'll be honest with you, I'll be mentioning a man in this portion of Scripture. I'd like to have about 500 of them. This boy, you can't hardly pronounce his name, but I want you to know something. He's the real deal. And I want you to look at 2 Timothy. Are you there? Say amen. Amen. Chapter number 1, verse number 15. This thou knowest, all they which are in Asia, well, that's a big area, be turned away from me, of whom are Phygelus and Hermogenes. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chain. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. The Lord grant unto him that he may find mercy of the Lord in that day. Boy, oh boy. And in how many things he ministered unto me at Ephesus, thou knowest very well. Let me do something at the beginning, because his name, actually, the meaning of his name will filter into the title of the message. This man, Onesiphorus, his name means, listen carefully, prophet bearer, or one that brings profit, or one that gratifies, or one that carries the load. Here's what I want to preach today, because it's all in that passage. And this is for men and women and young people. Are you profitable to Christ? Are you profitable to Christ? I'm going to preach a sermon soon, so I will not try to get over in that sermon, but I want to mention some thoughts so you'll be prepared when I do mention the sermon, because it's beyond. It's something that's really grabbed a hold of me these days. See, listen to me. I thank God that there's people in the work that are profitable to the work. That's what Paul said. This man in my life came in such a time that he was profitable unto me. Now, I'm going to give you two truths and magnify the second truth. But first of all, let me say this to you. You said, Preacher Smith, isn't every Christian profitable? I'm glad you asked that. Listen to me carefully. And this is not a play on words. There is a difference between a Christian and a disciple. Amen. I want to tell you, every disciple is a Christian, but not every Christian is a disciple. A disciple is a follower. Listen, there's a difference between, and this is what I'm going to preach soon, a laborer and a servant. A laborer will labor as long as they get something or their agenda is met. But a servant is not like that. He will fall under authority and follow the man of God as he follows Christ. Listen to me. if this church reaches its pinnacle, it's going to need some men like Onesiphorus, who says, it's okay with me to be a follower. It's all right for me. I just want to profit God's work. With me? Listen to me. I read a book, or I'm reading a book right now. And by the way, this guy is not even my stripe. But I can glean something from about anybody. There's a fellow wrote a book recently. I said he's not my stripe. Are you a fan? Or are you a follower? There's a lot of people. Last week, Jubilee, man, they were saying, go get a preacher. Man, all that shouting, all that praise, all them big crowds, go get a preacher. Oh. There's a lot of people cheerleading, but they ain't down there in the battle. Am I preaching? They ain't got a servant's apron on. That's good preaching, even if it's me. I'm right down where it meets the road, amen? Listen to me. Onesiphorus was a prophet. Now let me give you two things and I'll let you go home. You said just 2 points? My wife said it's not the points that bother her, it's all them sub-points, all right? Two things. First of all, in verse 15, I want you to notice the forsakers. The forsakers of Paul. Here's what he said. Two, by the way. First of all, the multitude. He said, all Asia forsook me. Now, ladies and gentlemen, do you have any idea how many people's in Asia? China's in Asia. India's in Asia. Dear Lord, most of this world is in Asia. You know what Paul said? They've all departed. I want you to know something. You look at me, man. Look at me. You want to be a Onesiphorus? This world is not a friend of Christ. This world is not a friend of you. This world is our enemy. I tell you, we got 3 enemies. The world, the flesh, and the devil. And they hate Christianity. They hate the truth of the Bible. I want to tell you, young preacher, something. If you want to be popular, don't get into ministry. You might be popular one day, but just take a stand and you're going to become on the unpopular list. But I want to tell you something. I'm not worried too much about that because I just want to be a faithful follower of Christ. I wanted myself to be an Onesiphorus. He was forsaken, first of all, by the multitude. How many of y'all remember when you got saved? Raise your hand. How many of y'all had a bunch of friends when you got saved? They ain't your friends no more. Man, I was champion to about 15 guys. You said, do they ever call you? They sure do. When they got somebody dying in their family and they want me to come and work and they don't have a preacher because they lost as a goose and they call me up. But listen to me, they don't call me to run around with them anymore. You said, why don't you run around with them? Because I ain't their kind. Woo, I'm preaching. I'm getting ready to preach real good here in a minute. Not only the multitude, the men who forsook Paul. Now, I want to tell you something. I've been accused of this. And I'm sure I will be again. Every preacher has. Well, he's preaching on me this Sunday. Why do you say that? Sometimes people get puffed up mad. And you can preach on John 3:16 and they get mad. Listen to me. Don't ever accuse me of that. Because if I ever want to preach on you, I'll do what Paul done. And I ain't going to do that. He called him out by name. We're the dignified crowds. What would you think this morning a preacher of God come up and said, "Your name, troublemaker"? Now he's a sociopath. Pick on him. Hello?
Amen.
Some of you are probably asking in your mind, why would Paul be that rude to call somebody out? Well, I don't think he's being rude at all. I think he was trying to protect the innocent.
Amen.
Instead of blasting everybody out and everybody wondering who's guilty, he just called them by name. Hey, Roger, I think I'd probably have less trouble if I do it that way. I'd trouble for a week when they go on and leave me. Somebody help me, they're going to leave you anyway. Am I preaching? So we have the forsakers, but now, let me get into the meat and positive of this message. But thank God, well, there's always a forsaker. There's a faithful one. And his name is Onesiphorus. You say, I can't pronounce it. You might not be able to pronounce it, but you can be it. He's the faithful one, number one. I want you to notice him in verse 16. The Bible says, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus, for he oft refreshed me. He's what I call the refreshing one. He oft refreshed me. Hey, I want to tell you what. How many of y'all know some people's entered in your life that are refreshing to you? I can tell you two people today that are on my mind a lot. Today, they're on my mind a lot. Eddie Ray Goddard was such a man. I want you to never see Eddie Ray Goddard without him having a smile on his face and a joke to tell. A lot of people gave him a hard time because he told a joke once in a while. That's better than being a sack puss. I went up there and to his, I didn't do his funeral, but I held part of his celebration service. That was the fun time. By the way, when somebody goes home to be with the Lord, that's refreshing, it's a celebration. And it's a fun time. I told the story. It's a wonderful story, but it's Eddie Ray. Ready, Eddie Ray, he'd been here ever since we was in the little building. Over in the little building. And first time he ever preached. You know, you have somebody in first time, you don't know if you want them to preach or not, and they're a missionary, and you think, most missionaries can't preach. But that's not true. There's a lot of missionaries who preach. Guess what happened? Eddie Ray got up, and I tell you, he started talking. He was so refreshed. I was wiping tears when he was telling about his testimony, how God said he was a drunk and a druggie, but God saved him from all that. He became one of the greatest preachers and pastors, and then for 30-some years became one of the greatest missionaries. He was refreshing. I never forget. He started in that testimony, and you know how Eddie Ray was. He started that testimony, and he said, also, I quit smoking when he got saved. He said, I hated to give up my Camels. He said, but I want to tell you something. I told this story. First sermon in my church. He said, I want to tell you something. If I find out smoking ain't wrong, I'm going to ask for a Camel that long when I get to heaven. That's Eddie Ray. Hey, amen. I'll tell you somebody else on my mind. I just got people on my mind that's been a refreshing over my life. They ain't never been a hindrance. They've never been a mess. They've just been refreshing. I'll tell you one. He's not here this morning. I hope they're listening by live feed today. But that's old Jim Blake. If I want to tell you, there ain't nobody funnier than Jim Blake. And there ain't nobody more refreshing than Jim Blake. You have a soul winning program in this church that's now been passed down to his grandson. It's because of Jim Blake. We would not be where we are today in soul winning. I couldn't say this 55 saved at Tate Valley Baptist Church if there wasn't first a Jim Blake. And most of you might not even know him. He's sitting down there in Milton today, still living for God, still faithful to God. And I want you to know, he was refreshing to me. I got to tell y'all this. Don't you like refreshing people? He was up in church one day and he'd give a testimony. Listen to me, have you ever almost fell out of your seat over somebody? How many's ever fell out of your seat over somebody? I was sitting there and Jim got up and he said, I want to give you a testimony. He said, one time me and Mildred and Tina was together and we were confessing our faults one to another. And Tina laid it out first and she told all her wickedness and faults. And Mildred got up and told all of her wickedness and faults. And they said, okay, Jim, it's your turn. He said, I can't remember any. From that time forward, they gave him a mirror to put in his pocket so he could wear. How many of y'all found Jim Blake? And he got them kind of people are the omnipresences of this world. Not only the refreshing kind of people, but listen to this. The reproach kind of people. Look with me. I just want you, I'm giving you this out of my Bible. Look at verse 16 again. The Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus. For he oft refreshed me, number one, and was not ashamed of my chain. In other words, do you know where Paul was when he penned these words down? He was in a Roman prison. Ready to get his head chopped off. That's where Paul died, was in Rome. All his life was meant for him to go to Rome and appear for Caesar. And guess who visited him in prison? The guy that didn't mind being the reproach. See, you go to prison today, it's a tough place. And ain't very many people want to volunteer and go. Because they're afraid of that kind of atmosphere. And it is a tough atmosphere. I remember several years ago when I went to Portsmouth Prison. I went down there, and you remember this, Brother Patrick. You were with me that day. You remember when Ron Garris got up there, and he told us where we were going. Then he said he wanted a volunteer for the age group, remember? And he also wanted a volunteer to go to death row. Hey, nobody stood up. And I thought, what kind of people are seeing us? I said, I'll go. I want you to know something. Going to an AIDS ward is not a very fascinating place. Because you're going into a place where they're dying. And they're sick. I went in there and they put gloves on me and put a mask on me. Put an apron around me. Wrapped me up about like a mummy. And I was 175 pounds heavier than I am. Y'all could just imagine me going in there. I walked in there and I never forget meeting a boy. His name was John. There's several I met. But the chaplain told me to go by and see him. Said, John, they ain't going to make it through the week, preacher. And he ain't accepted Christ. He said, but everybody's scared to go around him. I said, tell me where he's at. I went down there and I said, so I got my hand out, and I did have it covered, but I shook hands with that boy. That reproach. And he looked at me. He said, ain't very many outsiders will shake hands with me. I said, John, you need Jesus. I said, could I share that with you? The chaplain told me he never let anybody share the gospel with him. He said, since you shook my hand, you can. I gave him the gospel on that Tuesday. And John got saved. Amen. And he died Wednesday morning at 4 in the morning. I want you to know, it ain't wrong to become a reproach, to go out there to reach somebody that's down in the sewer, somebody that's life, they've fallen in life. Somebody help me preach right there. Oh, dear God. Is there an illustrious here that you're willing to be for the preacher when he's popular, but you're willing to be for the preacher when he's not? Are you a team player or are you in it for you? Are you unhappy when things don't go your way? Are you happy in the Lord because you're a follower of Christ? You're not just a fan, you're a follower. You're not just a laborer, you're a servant. Number three. I'm trying to get all this in. Verse 17, are y'all there? I'm just following the Bible. I believe in being a Bible preacher. But when he was in Rome, he sought me out very diligently and found me. I want you to know there's a lot of people. How many of y'all ever made an enemy? Raise your hand if you ever, come on, bunch of heathens. You ever been in Kroger's and your enemy was there? Over in Kmart. And you said, hi! And they hello. I've been over one time. I was over and I was walking through with my buggy because I don't know how to shop. Marguerite was supposed to shop and I'm doing by myself. And my enemy was one owl. Every time I got to that owl, he jumped over the other owl. He said, why is he doing that? Because he didn't want to be counted near me. I said, well, you've been there. But I want to tell you this man wanted to go to prison to have a reunion with a hero. A man that stood for the faith. A man that gave it all for Christ. And I believe when he got into prison, he hugged Paul. And he said, I've been looking for you. I wanted you. I didn't know if I was going to find you in the caboose, but I'm glad I found you. My preacher. And I'll tell you, when I went up to that funeral Friday. Now, Friday was a celebration. I don't know how Saturday went, but Saturday was a celebration. I saw a bunch of my friends, my fellow laborers across the country. They all come in for Eddie Ray. And I had them come up to me and had one fellow come up to me and said, Preacher John, you know that preacher down in North Carolina been calling you? And I said, yeah. I said, how does he know me? He Facebooked me. I said, how he know me? He said, I told him about you. I told him he couldn't get a better preacher for you to come and do revival. I said, he been Facebooking me. He said, I'm going to tell him you told me that you would come at his church. I want y'all to look at me. Look at me. I may be a lot of things, but I want to tell you I'm loyal to my people. And I know probably these churches don't have no 1,000 people like we do. I go if they have 8. Amen. And you know what I do? I preach like John Smith always preaches. Amen. Like a wild man. I said, yeah, dude. I was in church the other day. It wasn't hot enough out there. Wasn't for the preacher's kids. We wouldn't have nobody there. You know, preachers, he had 10 of them. Number four, look with me. This is the kind of man you ought to be, kind of person you ought to be In verse 16 and 18, it said this. Fourthly, the reward from Paul. Paul said in verse 18, the Lord grant unto him that he find mercy. In verse 16, he not only said him, listen to this, the Lord give mercy unto the house of Onesiphorus. Hey, the man of God called him others by name because they forsake him, but he told this man, you've showed me mercy, and not only am I going to show you mercy, I'm going to show your whole house mercy. Listen, blessed are they that are merciful, for they shall find mercy. Listen to me. There's a lot of things I can tell you wrong with me, but I'm going to tell you one that's right with me. I try to show mercy all the time. Just be merciful. There's families that's broke up, people that's maybe failed. I'm not going to turn my back on them. I'm going to show them mercy. In this world, far and few between them people, most people want to kick you while you're down. Most people want to take advantage of you and then get up and be able to move into a place of power. Not on Onesiphorus. He said, Paul said to him, the Lord show him mercy. How many of you people that saved can look over your life and the dangers that came around you and God showed you mercy? Wonder how many of you could raise your hand. Maybe you were protected from a car wreck. Maybe you were protected from an illness. But God showed you mercy.